Go ahead, Mike.
One thing that Mark said about Elijah caused me to think of one more important thing about what I was talking about this morning. It was when he ran down off the mountain and was able to outrun the horses. We talked about that vital energy, physically, naturally speaking, like what Jack LaLanne was able to do. Well, the spiritual energy that I was talking about, that Christ shed into the universe, that we can now absorb, it's so much more powerful than the natural physical energy. And that's signified by a lot of things like Elijah running down the mountain and Samson carrying the 2-ton gates up the hill. And also things like walking on the water and telling the wind to quit blowing. Those are the kinds of things we can do with that spiritual energy that I was talking about. And here's the important point that came to my mind. And I don't know how this works either, but I know it works this way. Unbelief destroys that spiritual energy. Okay, that's a very important point. Unbelief hinders and destroys that spiritual energy and force and power that's available to us. And you might ask me, well, how do I know that? And I know it by several ways, but one of them is when Peter walked on the water. Peter was walking on the water, and all of a sudden he started thinking, I can't really do this. And then he sunk. And so, how do I know that unbelief is what destroyed that power and energy that was working? I know it by what Jesus said to him. He said, "Why did you doubt?" So, doubting and unbelief undoes this spiritual power. That's a very important thing to know. And then, lastly, I just wanted to give one more little confirmation to what Mark said about the east being the direction of God. You know, we talked before about the sun. All natural life on this planet is a result of the sun. It's raining down its energy, and the plants are absorbing it, and the animals are eating the plants, and then we're eating the plants, or we're eating the animals that ate the plants. So this sun is the source of natural life. So that makes the sun a symbol or a model of God, because God is raining down this spiritual energy. So the sun is, you know, the sun is portrayed, it's God, it's the natural of God. And so where does the sun rise? It rises in the east. So that's just one more confirmation to why the east is the direction of God.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, to agree with what Mike was saying, you know, we have this spiritual force, whatever way you want to term that you use, you know, within us, because we are born again and filled with the Spirit of God. We are spiritual beings. And we have the ability to use this force once we hear from God speaking to us, and we believe that. That's the key, is we hear God and we believe God. And so we use this force by faith. Again, if you doubt, if you fear, if you do not fully believe, then that force which is available to us, we hinder and maybe not even use it. But as spiritual creatures, we have the ability. And it all is by faith and believing what God says to us. Secondly, I just wanted to say one thing about what you said today, Mark, was very good. When Elijah spoke to the widow and said, "Feed me first," you know, she made a choice. And this is typical of us as believers. God says, you know, I come first in your life. After that, then I will take care of you. But we have to make the choice to put God first before ourselves. And this is where a lot of us Christians don't get it. You know, we're still serving self before God. But it in Scripture it says, it's Matthew 6:33. What does that say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these other things, everything will be added on to you. So, you know, we don't have to worry about what we're going to need in the times to come, as long as we seek first God and his righteousness, we will be okay. Amen.
Yeah, Kathy, hold on. Let me turn the volume up for you. If I can find it here. Hold on, Kathy. I'm trying to find it. Somebody else came on and disturbed it. I can't get to you. Go ahead and say what you're going to say, Kathy.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to say that Jezebel cursed Elijah and she talked about killing him and his wife being taken. It came back on her.
Yeah, Kathy is saying that when Jezebel cursed Elijah with death, it actually came back on her. That was her demise as well. Okay, thank you, Kathy. Here's somebody that's, were you speaking, Larry?
I just said, you reap what you sow.
Yeah. Here's somebody asked a question on the chat. I don't know whether you can see this. Is there any significance from 1 Kings 18, 30 to 36 as a reformer and restorer of God's due order in worship? And this is when, of course, on the mountain, when he repaired the altar, okay, and repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken, took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes, and made a trench around the altar. In other words, you know the story. What they're asking here is Elijah also a restorer of true worship and due order in the Lord? Okay, I think you can answer your own question. I'm sure you know the answer to that. Well, of course he is. Of course this ministry is. And there's a lot of worship that goes on that is not in true order, in God's order. There's a lot of disorder out there. The whole system of clergy is a disorder. And they're making it even a worse disorder by putting their sodomites and lesbians in those positions. Well, Babylon has been doing that all along.
Mark, does it not say that when he comes, he will restore all things?
That was in Malachi. Yeah. So, yeah, let me take that verse again out of Malachi, which I think is one of the, we almost started with that verse. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I call it the terrible day. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And when Jesus was referring to this, he said he shall restore all things. That was in Matthew 17 when Jesus said it. So yes, a lot of things need restoring.
One thing that came to my mind was there's a famous song named Hallelujah, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard that song before. And the first part of the song says, I heard there was a secret chord where David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? And today's Christian music, I'm sure, is like nails on a chalkboard to God. You know, there's so much false worship and music and stuff in the world right now. That's all going to change one of these days.
You know, Mike, you were probably in that meeting. I was out there on the West Coast with you one time, and there was a woman came to the meeting. She was a believer, I guess, but she came from, was she a professor or a teacher or something at one of the colleges? Do you remember that, Mike? You had to have been at that meeting.
What was it about her that you were thinking of?
Well, I made a statement about the music that was,
yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It was.
What did I say about the music? I remember what she said.
Well, what you said was you one time went to a concert of the second chapter of Acts, and that it was like, wow, 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 wow. It was just like noise to you, and you had to make the decision that, Lord, I came here to worship you, and I'm going to do that. And this lady stood up and said, I love the second chapter of Acts. And, you know, she came against you for you putting them down. And it was just a sign that she didn't even really know what true worship is, you know. And then yet, I do have to say one thing, you know, as we come to know God, I can remember a time in my life when that Christian music actually did bless me. But as I grew in Christ, less and less and less did it bless me, you know, learning and recognizing the Spirit. So it's like sometimes it's not the best idea to just totally slam the door and shut it on something. It's that just needs to be coming up a little bit higher, you know, and there's a time when something blesses you when later it doesn't really bless you because you're higher in the Lord. You know, it's sort of like the babes that need milk. And then eventually you're going to eat the corn of the land, you know. So and one time they even came to Jesus and said something about somebody was doing something that kind of seemed wrong. And Jesus basically said, you know, leave them alone. Those that are for us, you know. So it's like we have to keep at least somewhat of an open mind to help others come up higher rather than just throw them to the floor, you know.
Oh, Mike, I don't ever remember having been involved in the second chapter of Acts, but there were other things. But what I remember a woman saying, it might not have been the same woman. I said something about the young people and their music of their generation. And she jumped right in and she said, don't you dare touch the young people and their music. So it was like, boy, this is a sacred calf. Don't touch it.
Yeah, I don't particularly remember that one, but that brought one other thing to my mind. And I kind of almost hate to use names, but I guess I'm going to do it this time. this Greg Lowry guy that was sort of supposed to be known to take the place of Billy Graham. He came to the college in my hometown here quite a few years ago. And basically what he did was put on a rock concert and then got up there and told the kids to stay away from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, what a farce.
Well, bless you folks. I'm going to turn the recording off.